Welcome to the 2013 World Under 23 Ultimate Championship Podcast. I'm Otto Chung. In our fifth podcast, Barry Goldlist and I interview Patrick Mooney, the head coach of the Canadian Under 23 Open Team. This podcast was recorded on March 13th, 2013. When you went through the selection process, what was your strategy? Did you have a plan for the team that you pick players that fit that plan, or did you pick the best possible players available?
We had a plan kind of beforehand, loosely modeled after what Jeff Cruikshank had used to select the World Games team, looking for certain individuals to fill specific roles and then having a group that we were using to pick the best remaining players. So we wanted to make sure we filled certain roles that we wanted. But we definitely were looking, if anyone came to tryouts that we didn't know or kind of impressed us, there's definitely spots for them. In a lot of ways, there's probably roughly around maybe 120 men at both tryouts combined. So it's a lot of people to evaluate. So a lot of it relied heavily on references as well as previous experience. Having coached been assistant coach on the past junior Worlds teams, I've seen a lot of the guys before, and a lot of it also relied on asking around in the Ultimate community for people who know the college level a lot better than we do to see if there's any players that are kind of flying under our radar.
So, but I don't know this Jeff Cruikshank's system. Can you describe that to me?
It's just a little bit more structured than previous years. I think with Ultimate Canada, they're trying to get their ducks in a row and have a bit more of a formal tryout process and ranking process for the players, so that I think to be more in line with Sport Canada guidelines for tryouts. So we tried to have, you know, drills that were that we could objectively rank all the players on, and as far as possible, and have everything kind of laid out so that they would be able to, moving forward, they'd be able to see what we did and how we evaluated players. As much as possible, we wanted to have an objective ranking system. I mean, it's really hard to show up and have 120 kids that are all fairly even and really pick them out in a matter of a two-day tryout, like 2 4-hour sessions. This year, we tried having the tryouts a year ahead of time, so we had them in October of last year. One of the issues that we did run into, though, is that we had a couple weeks in between the two tryouts, so it's hard to rank the East and the West players and those sorts of things if you don't try to do it in an objective way.
Are there any Canadian players that we should be watching out for during this year's tournament?
Well, I think that overall our team is really really strong in its depth. Top to bottom, I wouldn't say that we have any like any real standouts compared to, like, our top to bottom is pretty even in comparison to other years I've coached. We do have a lot of players playing club across the country. In terms of some of the more competitive teams, we have Kevin Underhill from Furious, really strong handler. We're really going to look to him to be one of our main players. And then we have a handful of GOAT players: Andrew Carroll, Isaiah, Remy Ojo, Callum McKenzie, and Ricky Tsetso. We also have some really strong players. One in particular that showed up at tryouts who had dual citizenship that we'd never seen before, named Dave Hawkhalter, a really strong player that played really well for us in Vegas a couple weekends ago. Mm-hmm. And returning captains Tim Tsang from Montreal and Miles Sinclair from London, both originally from Vancouver. I mean, that's no knock against the other players on our team. I'm just trying to name some of the players that are more familiar club players. But like I said, our real strength this year is our depth, and that's why it was so difficult to pick the team this year, and that's why we decided to take the full roster of guys. We really thought that we could use our depth in the tournament to hopefully compete against the stronger teams at the end.
And the U.S. team just released their rosters last week.
Yeah, I saw that.
The week before. Given the depth of the Canadian Open team, how do you think you guys stack up against the U.S.? Because the U.S., you know, more often than not, sends really powerful teams.
Yeah, I know in 2010, I believe it was, that they didn't send a team. I think that the way that the under 23 event kind of got thrown together was a little short timing for them to really, you know, they have a lot of, if we had 120 players to evaluate, I bet you they had 600 players that they had to whittle down to like an invite list of 120. So from what I gather, that's the way it worked for them. So I think that I always think that we, the top level, the top players on our team can compete against anyone in the world. Mm-hmm. And then that's what we're hoping our depth this year will allow us to compete with some of these teams, US as well as some of the other teams that'll be at the tournament. I've seen the roster and I do recognize some of the names. I've played against some of those players and recognize some of them from having come through when they go play the next gen guys. And so I expect fully that they'll be a really strong team. But I feel that our guys with the advanced, one advantage that we had by starting early was that we got this team together a year ahead of time. Like they're just picking their team now. And right. Hopefully one advantage that we have by starting early is that we got to jump on our strategic side of things and our training and that sort of stuff.
You've coached at under 20 levels. Yeah. And this is an under 23. What do you think the difference is between an under 20 and an under 23 player?
I think the overall depth of the team, like I've been talking about, just gets that much better. The players have a chance to have played college. They'd be leaders on their team, get a lot more experience in those 2 years. A lot of them even start playing club at this point. So the overall talent level of each player, I think, goes up. In addition, I find just having worked with the group, it's a lot easier to work with them. Their base knowledge is that much better. So when you try to implement a new strategy or a new tactic or you try to make in-game adjustments, they're a lot more capable of making those adjustments, which is really rewarding when you know that if you tell them something that they'll generally pick it up a lot faster.
Like my experience with, say, a junior player is that, you know, these high school kids, very enthusiastic, they love to run, but no patience with the disc. Are you seeing that as they get older, they're learning more patience, they're understanding strategy, it's not just huck it, run it, get it back on defense, all that kind of stuff?
Oh, for sure. Their overall talent level is just that much higher. Their appreciation for their game and their maturity on and off the field is a big difference. They're really, really rewarding to coach players at this level. I find they still have enough to learn that they look to you for guidance and experience, but at the same time, they know enough that when you do tell them something, they can implement it quickly. They also tend to they play a more of a club style game. I find they don't expect that every point's going to go out and have 40 turnovers and it's going to be a back and forth kind of slugfest. They realize that, you know, we're capable of walking the disc up the field and scoring every time or running a clean offensive play when we get the opportunity.
So a couple of weekends ago, the Team Canada Open team was at, in Vegas.
Yep.
For Trouble in Vegas. It was really a tune-up tournament. Can you tell me what your strategy was going into Vegas?
Yeah, so we kind of, half the team's never met the other half, and the coaches haven't all been together. So we wanted to get an early start to the season, so we chose Vegas. Also, there's a lot of uncertainty with what's going to be happening in the club division this year with all the leagues, the pro leagues that are happening and the elite division of the UPA. So we were really unsure with what sort of tournament competition we'd get if we waited to later on and to play some of the club tournaments. So we decided Vegas and we decided the college division just because it was a little deeper in terms of the number of teams. And we really just had a feeling out process. We wanted to know which players worked well. Obviously, we started out the weekend with our two goals were to win the tournament and to have fun and use it as a bonding experience. I mean, part of the reason we chose Vegas as well is it's a fun place for the guys to get to meet each other.
How did Vegas go in retrospect now?
In retrospect, I think we accomplished one of our goals, which was to have fun and bond. As a team, we seem to have a really great group of guys that really enjoy being around each other. I think that'll go a long way to us pushing in our training and in our competition together. Obviously, it was a disappointment. We lost to a fairly strong University of Florida team. They They played a better game than us that day. They had some throwers who could really throw it into the wind and a couple really athletic guys that were pulling down some nice big plays. And we lost a game. We lost the finals to them, which was disappointing. But we felt as a whole, considering, you know, half the team had never even met each other, let alone played together, that we had a fairly successful weekend. And we accomplished some of our goals of seeing which players worked well together, what lines that they would maybe be on, testing them in different line calls, play calls, zone formations, all sorts of stuff. So the weekend, the real reason for the weekend was to work on things, and I think we accomplished that.
What's your expectation for this under 23 tournament, open and mixed and women's? Do you have any insight?
Well, I know the mixed team is still being put together. There's a lot of talented young players that I happen to have the opportunity of coaching this past summer in Dublin and also in Germany. And I think that that team's stacking up to be really competitive. We'll have to see what Hadia and John and Taylor come up with in terms of the tournaments they go to. But I think they have the possibility of being a really strong team in the mixed division. I know my girlfriend Caitlin is coaching the women's team with head coach Steph Chow, and Carla DeFilippo, and they've been busily organizing their stuff, working with sports psychologists, getting the girls training, and I think that they have a strong chance. Just having gone to the last two junior tournaments, the Team Canada was really close to winning in 2010, just falling to Colombia, and then this past year, I mean, it was a pretty tough tournament in Dublin with the rain and the wind, but the girls were still really competitive with the top level team. So I fully expect them to be in the running for the gold medal. In terms of us, I think the men's division typically is the most deep division at the world's tournament, and at least at the junior level that I've experienced. And so I fully expect there to be, you know, six to eight teams that are competitive with, you know, usually the U.S., Canada, Japan out front as the favorites. Hopefully we'll be able to use our home field advantage this summer and our early start to the season to really compete for gold. We fully expect to be playing in front of our home crowd at York University in the finals.
Barry Goldlist and I would like to thank Patrick Mooney for his time, and we'll see you all in Toronto this summer.